Well, that wasn't very pleasant at all, was it? Welcome to Scrambled Eggs, everyone, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you on Crack Sidewalks. And Phil, that Villanova game did not go too well at all. I mean, we going into this past week, we predicted 1-1 against Georgetown and Villanova. And so we got what we were expecting, really. But I guess we were expecting a little bit better effort than the blowout that was Sunday afternoon.
First of all, this was a horrible idea doing this podcast immediately after the game. Second of all, that was
I know, we're all emotional and upset, but we're going to try to take a deep breath here and get through it.
We're going to have the bleep machine on standby. Also, that probably feels like we went 1-1.1 or 1.5. That loss to Villanova should have counted as an extra half a loss. And three, I think we can draw a conclusion. This is a very mediocre team, and we're not going to beat good teams. That's just it.
Marquette, they've come up short on every opportunity, and they showed the stat during the game. What was it, 2-9 against the current RPI top 50?
Yep.
That just tells you, you know, lots of opportunities and a lot of opportunities missed. And those wins that are in the top 50, I mean, those teams are kind of on the fringe of being in the top 50. I guess GW is still, I don't know, in the 30s or something, but they've been slipping lately as late as well. But yeah, 73-56 is the game, of course, freshest in our minds as we record this on Sunday afternoon and look ahead to what is remaining on the season for Marquette. And in the game, just Marquette really looked out of it from the beginning, really, Phil. I mean, there was especially a play in the first half where there was a rebound that were three or four blue jerseys around the ball, but Villanova hustled to it, dove out of bounds, saved the ball, and was able to get a layup. And that was kind of a microcosm of the day. Villanova was just hustling a little more. Marquette was sleepwalking at times and just really wasn't getting anything going on either end of the floor.
Yeah, well, and the TV director on that play must have been a Marquette alum or a Marquette basketball player because it just kind of fell asleep on the switch and missed all the
action. Yeah, I was
going to
say, don't insult the Marquette alums in the journalism department. I think a Marquette alum who took, you know, any Brett courses at Marquette would have stayed with the play instead of cutting away.
Yeah, that's true, but I'm just making the parallel to the team performance. I mean,
fair enough.
They had a gritty kind of, you almost felt like maybe they were in it, but they really weren't. And then of course Buzz got teed up, which, you know, I really don't think the officials really let them play during the entire game. So you know, that's the whole Jake Thomas sliding across the floor, calling a timeout, not getting it. Certainly you can't, you know, officials are entitled to make a mistake or two, but Buzz getting teed up, I don't think that swung the momentum, but it certainly was just something where you go, geez, yeah, this game is not going to be one we win.
No, it wasn't. And yeah, our expectations were low coming in. I mean, for those who, you know, see what the wise guys in Vegas post for entertainment purposes only, you know, Nova was like a 10-point favorite heading in. So Marquette was a pretty heavy underdog coming into the game, but the hope was Marquette, with its backs against the wall, scratching, trying to get some quality wins on its resume and try to impress the committee, would have had a better performance. And quite frankly, the team just didn't play well. You know, they weren't able to get the ball inside very much. Devontae Gardner only had 8 points. Otule had 5 points. And you know, Marquette didn't shoot the ball particularly well as well, especially from three. I mean, it was, you know, throwing a lot of bricks up there today or on Sunday. 4 of 15. Was Marquette from the 3-point line.
Yeah, they just didn't have it, which is sad. I mean, I don't know if it was I think the worst part is that it just looked like there wasn't as much effort there. Villanova was more talented and they looked more invested in the game than Marquette. I mean, they were diving all over the place, getting the loose balls, getting the loose rebounds, and Marquette wasn't. And you know, when you got a team that's essentially fighting for their playoff lives, that isn't just giving that extra effort, I think that's probably the most frustrating thing about the game. You know, the talent of the team is what the talent of the team is, which is a really weird thing to say. But, you know, they are who they are, a la Denny Green. But you got to put in the effort, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah, and, you know, a team could put in all the effort at once, but if a team is significantly better, they're still going to get blown out. I mean, you know, 16 seeds try against 1 seeds. They try their best every year, and they almost always lose. Not that the talent disparity was that great between Marquette and Villanova today, but you get my point. When a team is just that much better, Villanova is significantly better than Marquette. And, you know, Marquette played them tough at home, took them to overtime. But in Philadelphia today, Marquette was just a little bit slow and a little bit off. And when you are just a little bit off against a team that is way better than you anyway, you're going to have results like we saw on Sunday.
Well, and what's interesting, and I don't know if it's a connection or not, and I believe Anonymous Eagle posted something about three-point defense, and this year Marquette's has been trending way worse, and Marquette in general has very poor three-point defense, and we saw that again against Villanova. I mean, they were just hitting everything from behind the arc, especially Hilliard. And Marquette's three-point shooting is bad. It starts to make me wonder. There seems to be enough evidence that three-point seems to be – the three-point line almost seems to be a blind spot for Marquette. I don't know if it's a coaching philosophy thing or it's a – you know, the type of players we recruit. But three-point shooting and three-point defense, whether they're connected or not, seems to be very poor sections for Marquette in general historically and this year specifically.
Yeah, it really has been. It really has. Now, you know, in the previous game, three-pointers were flying in. Jake Thomas had a breakout game against Georgetown, and that was nice to see. But I think realistically you didn't think Lightning was going to strike twice for Marquette from the three-point line. But yeah, you're right. For the most part, Marquette's three-point shooting has been trending down really ever since Buzz has been the coach.
Yeah.
You know, they had a bunch of three-point shooters when he came in. You know, they had Lazar Hayward was a good three-point shooter. He brought in Darius Johnson-Odom, of course, who was a good three-point shooter for a few years. Jarrell McNeil became a good three-point shooter. Wesley Matthews eventually became a pretty good shooter. And, you know, he hasn't really brought in many guys who could shoot the ball well, except since Darius Johnson-Odom, of course. Since him, I mean, really the best three-point shooter he's brought has, I guess, been Jake Thomas, who is just straight, you know, catch and shoot.
Right. Well, and you've talked about it before, but with Jake Thomas, the most frustrating thing is when he shoots well, it's almost nearly nothing but net. But then when it's a poor shot, it is really poor.
Right.
And that, yeah, but it's an interesting blind spot, you know, that does Buzz just recruit athletes and not bring in those pure shooters? Is there a pure shooter that can kind of solve this team's problems? Who knows? Maybe Dwayne Wilson is a pure shooter or will be a shooter. But it seems to be a significant weakness.
Yeah, you would hope that would be something that, you know, as Buzz has evaluated his team over the last two or three years, you know, he's probably looked around and said, man, we could really use some guys who could shoot the ball. And I would hope that's something that's gone into recruiting this next class. I really haven't seen any tape of any of the incoming players. I don't know if Ahmad Hill is a good shooter, if Sandy Cohen is a good shooter. You would hope that at least some of them have an ability to shoot the ball at a decent clip. Because if not, I mean, this is going to continue to be a problem. But you would hope, even if these guys coming in aren't going to be good shooters in the future, that defensively Marquette could improve as far as defending the three-point line. But because, as you mentioned, that has been equally as troubling as their three-point shooting is how poorly Marquette has defended the three lately.
Right. Right. Well, and they went to a weird scrambling defense, and that didn't seem to make any difference. I mean, it was basically Buzz throwing the kitchen sink at everything, and it just continued to get worse. So it was just a bad game, and it reinforces that, like I said, this is a very mediocre team, and you know, the only good news is we're probably at this point going to the NIT, and turns out the NIT has a lot of mediocre teams too. So who knows what Marquette can do there?
Yeah. Do you even hang NIT banners these days, or is it just kind of like,
God, I hope not. I really don't. I mean,
it doesn't mean what it meant when Al McGuire won the NIT.
No. And you know what you certainly don't do is you don't hang a CBI banner, or if you do, it's
that hangs in the, you know, in the bathrooms at the Al McGuire Center, like next to that Paradise Jam trophy.
Yes. Yeah.
That's where the CBI banners go. But as far as the tournament goes, obviously there was still optimism, and I'm sure there are people out there who were still optimistic, say, well, you know, if Marquette could just win out, then we'll be fine. Well, yes. If they can win out, that would be lovely. But I think that, as we said last week, Phil, I think that's asking a lot from this team, is to play great for four consecutive games. Because if they win five straight, then they would have won the Big East tournament. Then, you know, then it's all out the window. Yeah, they'll get an automatic bid. But I think that is asking a tremendous amount. Because I think if you do that, Marquette's probably going to have to beat Creighton and Villanova to do that. But going into the Big East tournament, Marquette would probably be, I mean, Marquette's going to probably be between three. I guess they're still an outside shot. Marquette could finish seventh. Cause as we're speaking right now, Marquette is two games up on Georgetown, who's in seventh at 7-9. But if, I guess if Marquette, St. Jonathan, Georgetown all finish at 9-9, maybe there's some kind of tiebreaker scenario that could still wind Marquette end up in seventh, which would be just the worst.
Yeah.
Then they have to win four games in 4 days.
Well, what's going to happen is even if Marquette wins at Providence and then wins against St. John's that had an eerily similar feel to the at St. John's game had an eerily similar feel to this Villanova game. If they beat the two games left on the regular season schedule, that doesn't get them in. They've still got to win. I at a minimum one more game in the conference tournament, two.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying coming into this game, well, you know, it's okay if Marquette loses to Villanova. You know, it's not to say it's okay, but Marquette could afford to lose to Villanova as long as they win the others. I don't think Marquette really could afford to lose to Villanova. They needed a big win, because their RPI was in the 70s. Say what you want about the RPI, the committee still looks at it. And RPIs in the 70s aren't going to get you into the tournament. And without any big wins in the top RPI top 25, any wins over a top 25 team at all, that's not going to impress the committee. And now you've put the team in a situation where they have to win every upcoming game.
Right. Oh, and by the way, the entire NCAA Basketball Division I program is coming off of Upset Saturday, where a whole bunch of unranked teams that were bubble teams went in and beat ranked teams, which Marquette has not done this season.
Yeah, teams like Arkansas are going out there and getting big wins.
Right. You know, so the teams they're competing against for a spot, the bubble teams, all did better than Marquette. So right. they're far behind right now, and they're Marquette even behind the bubble teams in the Big East.
Right. Yeah, that's the big issue. It's not like Marquette is just right there, like hypothetically two or three spots out of getting into the tournament. I mean, I don't know what the number is, but I would guess there are probably somewhere between eight and a dozen teams that are ahead of Marquette on the waiting list to get into the NCAA tournament. And so you got to jump a lot of teams. And that's why Marquette needed the win against Villanova, in my opinion, because they needed something that is going to leap them past several teams. And that's why they would need to face Creighton and or Villanova in the Big East tournament to get that far ahead. They need something that's really going to shoot them up, because beating Providence and beating Xavier or beating St. John's, that's not going to really shoot you up that high. It may, you know, move you up a little bit, help you just a little bit, but it's not going to push you so far that's like, oh, well, now let's look at Marquette.
Right.
Now they're really moving up. So that's like, I've kind of had a theory that Marquette kind of like a poison pill in the Big East right now? Because I think if Marquette wins out, all it might do is prevent other Big East teams from getting in and reduce the number of Big East teams in the tournament to three. Because if, let's say, right now, if Marquette beats Providence and beats St. John's, and I think they might be keeping both of those teams out of the tournament at this point. I don't think they're going to take either one of those two teams' spots.
Right. Well, I don't – that one's tough.
I mean, it's a little messy. Who knows where Providence and St. John's truly stand right now, and there's still two or three games left to play for all of them.
Well, I think the only honestly, I think I have to say I think Providence is out now. St. John's is on the outside looking in. Georgetown's probably, even though they got a worse record in the Big East, Georgetown's probably got a better definitely has a better resume than Marquette. So you could see a case where Marquette finishes fourth. Because I think the only three quote-unquote givens are Creighton, Nova, and Xavier.
Yeah, I think Xavier's a lock after that. They beat Creighton over the weekend. I think Xavier's in pretty good shape.
So those three are relative locks. So that leaves, I think, only one spot left, potentially.
Right.
I don't think the Big East gets more than four bids. Yes, it's an extremely weak bubble, and yes, there's a lot of teams that are very mediocre. But I don't think the Big East gets more than four bids, especially because that lack of dominant teams mean I think there's going to be a lot of upsets in conference tournaments that are going to take away at large bids, because they're going to go to, you know, teams that weren't going to be in the tournament until they won their automatic bid.
People forget sometimes that those at-large bids start shrinking once we get to championship week, because some of those one or two bid leagues, you know, steal an at-large bid by having an underdog win them. So, you know, you got to watch out for leagues like the A-10 and the MAC.
Well, like a classic example is it's very possible Wichita State could lose in their conference tournament this coming week.
Oh, sure.
And obviously Wichita State is in. So if they lose any, you know, they lose in their tournament, any team that wins that conference tourney is taking an at-large bid.
Yeah, and the Atlantic 10 with St. Louis and St. Joe's, VCU. I mean, those teams are probably comfortably in, but there could be another team somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic 10. That seems to be always a tournament that sneaks one more in.
Yeah,
like the Atlantic 10 will be a team, and who knows? Maybe the Big East could do that this year. Because there are a lot of teams there in the middle that could get hot, as we've been talking about. Hopefully, Marquette could do that. Could get hot and win three games. And maybe upset Villanova or Creighton in the championship game. Like, I would say St. John's actually probably is in pretty good shape because they get the game on their home floor.
Right.
And St. John's could win the Big East tournament. But, you know, Georgetown, if they play their best, Georgetown could sneak in there. Who knows? And I wouldn't expect Seton Hall, DePaul, or Butler to do that. But, you know, it's the Big East tournament. You never know what could happen.
Well, and you know what's interesting now is, you know, we were debating earlier. We wanted Marquette needed to get that 3 seed, right, to avoid Creighton on the top side of the tournament bracket. Well, guess what? You avoid Creighton, but now you've got Villanova who just, you know, stomped you.
I guess as we're speaking right now, Creighton is actually in second.
Oh, that's right.
Three seed. So if you're because Xavier beat Creighton. So if you're the 3 seed, you're going to be on the same side as Creighton. So I guess the lesser of two evils is probably Villanova because Creighton is just a horrible matchup for Marquette. I think Creighton could play that. Marquette could play this Creighton team probably 10 times and Creighton would probably win 9 of them. Honestly, just think it's just that poor of a matchup for Marquette. Now, Villanova, maybe it may balance out a little bit better. Maybe you can just catch Nova on a bad day and upset them. I wouldn't bet a dime on it. But
no,
if I had to play one of them, if I'm Marquette, I would say, all right, let's try to get a quality win against Villanova.
And maybe
there's no guarantee Marquette even gets past its first game.
Right. That's assuming Marquette wins their first game. But, I mean, the other argument you can make is that Villanova, being from Philadelphia, you're going to have a lot more Nova fans at Madison Square Gardens than you are Creighton fans. But who knows? Based on my experience with Creighton fans, they're pretty nuts. So they might travel in a big herd.
They'd be probably... They might be pretty fired up to go to Madison Square Garden for the first time. Who knows? Maybe they might fill the place up pretty good. But
I mean, they're not going to win for another 4 years when their entire team graduates.
I mean, exactly. I mean, let's go all in this year. But, yeah, I don't care if it's Omaha, Milwaukee, New York, or Mars. I don't think I'd want to play Creighton anywhere right now. Just the way they match up with Marquette. Just not a good matchup, and I don't think Marquette could beat them, really, unless they just play absolutely horrible and have a bunch of guys injured or in foul trouble. So, but yeah, I think, back to my original point, I think Marquette has just such an uphill climb at this point. I think it's asking way too much for Marquette to win the next 4 games and get in, and even if Marquette does win 4 games and loses in the championship, the Big East tournament, I still don't think that's a guarantee that Marquette is in, just because there are so many teams ahead of them, you know, in the RPI, in, you know, last four in, last four out, if you look at that stuff, no matter who you look at. ESPN this past week did its bubble watch and put a list of teams that are in the mix, work to do, and Marquette wasn't even listed. So I think that's how, and I don't, not to say that's the end all be all, that's the gospel of what the committee is looking at. It's a pretty good indicator.
Right.
That, you know, Marquette wasn't even on the radar before this Villanova game, so it's not like losing to Villanova is going to put him in there.
Right. I mean, we can't focus. I agree with everything you say, but there is, you know, there is a certain impact of at least sweeping Georgetown, who would be probably our biggest direct competition. I would think Georgetown would be more likely to be in than St. John's at this point. You know, at least sweeping Georgetown, you know, we have that on the resume. Having said that, you're right. It's just not, and we've got to be realistic about it. This team is just, even if they make the tournament, and this is kind of where I get depressing, is even if they make the tournament, what do we think they're going to do there?
Win the whole dang thing.
Right. I mean, they're gonna
come down here to Texas and win, go to the Final Four.
Like,
but no.
Has this been a season-long rope-a-dope?
Right. Yeah, they've just been kind of hitting cruise control. They're going to crank it up a notch. Thing is, even if Marquette does get in at this point, you know, they're going to Dayton first.
Right.
Right. You know, they'd be in one of the last four in, even if they made it. And I don't think, I wouldn't expect them to get out of Dayton, quite frankly. So, yeah, as you said, Phil, it's they're just not, Marquette just isn't a great team. And
right.
We've seen enough of them at this point. It's March already. You know what you're getting with this team. The ups, the downs, that all of it makes up what Marquette is. And then the way and what Marquette is at this point, you know, Marquette is a 17-12 team with 7 losses in the conference, no truly great wins overall. Can't really make a case for them to be among the field of 68, in my opinion. But I guess all you can do is just keep winning and, you know, just try to win a couple more games, 2-3 more games, and maybe you're that mistake that the committee makes on Selection Sunday, the one that everyone's saying, how did they get in?
Right, but we got to be that mistake.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to push that hashtag anymore, but
That's landed about as successfully as Marquette's trip to Philadelphia.
It really did. Didn't really go anywhere. But still, that is Marquette's hope, though. Just get as close as they possibly can and make it interesting, and that's really all Marquette can do over the last 2 games. Try to win them. Try to beat Providence, try to beat St. John's on senior day, and then see what you can do in the Big East tournament. Maybe that's enough. I don't think it's going to be enough no matter what happens, to be perfectly honest, but just hope for the best. So I guess maybe the best Marquette could hope for is somehow to get Xavier in the first round of the Big East tournament.
Yep.
Then you beat Xavier, and then maybe you upset Creighton or Nova, but... We're just getting way too hypothetical at that point. We're not even sure they're going to beat Providence coming up on Tuesday.
Right, right. Well, and the other thing to pivot, like as part of this tournament talk, one thing that's interesting is Buzz brought up in his radio show on Wednesday that they would look at how they did non-conference scheduling for next season, and right. Essentially implying that they would seriously look at a much softer non-conference schedule. And the argument could be made. Now, Marquette played the teams in front of them, had plenty of opportunities like we talked about, but lost. But if they had, you know, in the non-conference this past season, if they had only had Wisconsin in the non-conference session, and even if they lost that, I would argue that having a softer non-conference schedule would help them at this point, because presumably they would have had more wins than they currently have. They would, I would think, pretty simply be over that 20-win barrier at this point. That seems to be kind of the mythical number. Not to mention, they would have had more opportunities to play some of the freshmen they certainly didn't have early in the season. And as a consequence, we don't have the freshmen to play now. You know, wouldn't Burton be able to play 20 minutes a game had he had the experience early in the season? You know, and some of that's hindsight, because you say, well, if Buzz had played the freshmen earlier, though, they would have lost those games anyway. So play them early to have them available now. But, you know, you got to look at how that schedule's put together, especially with the young team again next year.
Yeah, it's the age-old debate, really. What's better, 25 wins against a garbage schedule or 18 or 19 wins against a challenging schedule? And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, everyone has different opinions. I mean, some teams go out and have no problem getting their brains beat in non-conference play, and then make them stronger come tournament time. Like, I think, like, an example of that this year would say Kansas, for example. Like, Kansas went on the road. They played at Colorado. They played Duke, they played Florida, they played Georgetown, and, you know, they were in that tournament where they played Villanova. So, I mean, that's a team that went out and challenged itself. That's one of the top programs in the country. And then there's, say, the alternate schedule, which is just stay close to home, play no one, try to get as many wins as you can. And, like, say, like, Syracuse is notorious for that, like, for never leaving the state of New York. Like, they
right.
go out and they play Cornell and Fordham and Colgate and... They played, I guess they played Indiana this year.
Well, yeah, but it's Indiana. Like...
Yeah, Indiana step. Yeah, that's a step down. But I guess I don't know if they knew that when the schedule was made. But
right.
My point is, you know, some teams like to just schedule absolutely no one. Like that is the joke for New York. They never leave for Syracuse. They never leave the state of New York until conference play. But some teams like to do that, and it works out for them, because maybe you get to, you know, Wichita State maybe isn't fair, because, you know, I think Wichita State tried to schedule people,
right.
Just nobody wanted to schedule them. But just to use that as a case in point. They really didn't play hardly anyone in non-conference play. They're 31-0, and they're top 3 in the country.
Right.
Is that the way to go? Wichita State is a poor example, because Wichita State tried to schedule people no one wanted to. But the point is, their schedule is not that great, but they're unbeaten and ranked in top 5. Would you rather be there, or would you rather be, you know, get your brains beat in a non-conference play and only have 17 or 18 wins and say, look, hey, you know, I know we got a bunch of losses and we lost every single challenge along the way, but we played people.
Right. I think the answer is for next year, Marquette should go soft schedule. I mean, they're going to have a lot of youth on the team. Get them playing time. Get them used to it. Hope the Big East is really good. I mean, going in that Creighton's is gonna struggle. They may have a good recruiting class, but they're going to have no veteran talent there. So that takes a step back on the Big East scale, but. I think you got to go soft and get to those big wins because, you know, even if you play poor teams, if you beat them, the RPI gets bigger. If you only have a, you know, 6-7 losses going into the conference tournament, your RPI is probably going to be high enough. Your strength of schedule is going to be poor, but yeah. I think that's a gamble you got to take with the youth coming in. I would have preferred that this year. Now, we couldn't have expected that out of this team. I mean, there should have been savvy veterans there like Jameel right. Wilson and Devontae and Derek Wilson, all players that got plenty of time, but, you know, it didn't seem to gel. But next year, especially with all the youth and inexperience, they've got to go soft, I think.
I think that's a good point because, you know, Marquette's going to be in that old, the one in Florida, the Old Spice Classic. They're going to be in that one, and there's some good teams in that one next year. And so they're going to have that one, and you play Wisconsin. I'd say beyond that, sure, go soft. Play SWAC teams and MAC teams and WAC teams.
See if we can get Grambling State 2-3 times next.
Yes, exactly. You know, just rack up those wins because the team might be half freshman next year.
Right.
To be honest, depending on how the recruiting class, because, you know, Dwayne Wilson is technically going to be a freshman next year because he's going to be a redshirt freshman. Luke Fisher is going to be new to the team. He'll be a sophomore, but it'll be his first year with the team. And then you're going to have between 4 and 5 freshmen beyond that on the team.
I mean, the only seniors you'll have next year are Juan Anderson and Derek Wilson. I think that's it.
And there's one more.
Who am I? Todd Mayo.
Maybe not. Yeah, Mayo. Mayo. So those are your three seniors. And then Steve Taylor is your one lone junior next year. So, yeah, very young team. I definitely agree with you. I think I would be, although I love, you know, great non-conference schedules and great exciting matchups and non-conference play, but if it means you're going to approach Big East tournament play with a 500 record, probably not worth it. So,
as a season ticket holder, I absolutely want great games, but I also want to see my team in the conference tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like I would trade a crappy non-conference schedule and games that maybe don't have a ton of value, in the non-conference to see them in the tournament in March because that makes it that much more interesting. So I don't know, but it does make you question like the way everything goes about it. It's kind of hypocritical. You want to see great games, but then, you know, if you got to give teams a little leg up for at least having the temerity to schedule the games.
But, yeah. It's that catch 20. And I don't know what the answer is. I guess the simple answer is if you can predict the future and say, oh, our team's going to be great this year. Yeah. Then challenge yourselves.
Right.
And play a great non-conference play. But if you look into the future and say, oh, we're going to be awful. Well, then let's go ahead and be a fraud and get a bunch of, you know, lousy, you know, 10, 12 wins against the RPI 150 plus, and then hope to do well enough conference play from there. But
right. Well, yeah, hindsight's 2020, but again, I don't think we can, you know, make enough. Like, what would this team be like if Burton, Juwan Johnson, John Dawson were all, and Steve Taylor in theory, though he was injured early in the season, if those three guys were getting pretty solid minutes in the non-conference season, you know, would they be capable of performing? Because, you know, we can make the argument that the freshmen are more talented than the players ahead of them. They just don't have the experience ahead of them.
Right. Yeah. And I guess we may not know for sure. Who knows? We may not know for 2 or 3 years if John Dawson and Juwan Johnson are going to be good players or not. But yeah, they haven't shown much this year because they really haven't had a chance to. I mean, as you said, there have been close games, and Buzz sticks with his guys that he trusts, and that's Jake Thomas and Derek Wilson, Todd Mayo, for better or worse, and that's kind of where Marquette is at this point for right now. So, but yeah, I think it's an interesting discussion on the schedule, and you can give us your thoughts and hit us up at Crack Sidewalks or on Twitter or whatnot. But as for these last two games, Phil, I guess, what is the hope for Marquette? What are we hoping happens here? Can Marquette rebound in, I guess, less than 48 hours? I guess maybe a little more than 48 hours because it's a night game. But still, just two days away, they're going to play Providence at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. critical game, I guess, is one way to describe it.
I mean,
every game is a must win if you're clinging on to that slim hope for the Lloyd Christmas crowd of Marquette making the tournament. But regardless, Marquette still has to try to win every game and improve its seeding for the Big East tournament. So, important game. I mean, got to try to win it. I mean, got to send your best guys out there. I mean, what are you kind of expecting from Marquette at Providence on Tuesday?
Well, I'm hoping, you know, and Providence may have an answer, but I'm hoping that Marquette goes to the mad rush kind of concept they had the first time against Providence, where they ran a bunch of line changes and ran as many players as possible at Providence to wear them out because of Providence's bench. But I'm going to be really curious, because with this Villanova game, it would be extremely easy for the team to be disheartened and kind of play halfway. So I'm going to be curious to see if they come out. It's going to be one or two ways. If they come out relatively good and into the game, I think Marquette wins. If they get down 10-15 points in the first 10 minutes like they've been wont to do, like they were against Georgetown, I think the team may fold. I really shut it down.
Get ready to go back to Milwaukee. Yeah. I could see that for sure, because after today's game, I'm curious of the team's attitude. They're, you know, where they are mentally right now. Are they say, well, all right, man, we're screwed. We're done. Forget about it. Or are they going to get fired up, say, all right, back's against the wall. We got to win every game from here on out. I'm sure that's what Buzz is telling them. I hope the players buy into it, but who knows if they will. I mean, they've got a bus ride, I guess, through the sleet and snow in the Northeast, and they'll get to Providence and who knows how long. And we'll see how well... See how well they defend Bryce Cotton and see if they can shut him down and see how, you know, see if the 3-point defense can be improve, as we talked about earlier. And you got to see what you get out of Marquette's guards. You know, Jake Thomas, 22 points against Georgetown. That was great. Then he had 5 points on 1-of-7 shooting, 2-of-8 overall against Villanova. Not as good. Derek Wilson, 1-of-6. Not as good. So, I mean, they're going to have to get better play from their guards, of course. We say that every week, but still, the constant for Marquette, it always has been, they have to continue to get the ball inside to Devontae Gardner and see how often he can get to the free throw line.
Yeah, they're going to have to go back to basic fundamental basketball. And again, I don't know. Burton put on a little bit of show at the end of the game. You got to find a way to get him some more minutes.
Juwan Johnson threw in the garbage time three. That's got to get everybody fired up.
Right. I'm sure, you know, if there were actually people still watching the game and on Twitter, it would have been the ultimate Twitter troll. But since there was roughly 6 of us still watching the game, yeah. I don't think it had the same impact. But
I don't think we'll see Juwan Johnson.
No, there's no evidence. Again, there's no evidence that this team can win against quality teams. There's no evidence that Juwan Johnson's going to get any playing time.
Yeah, and then of course there'll be the last game of the season coming up after that. If they were able to, we'll see how they do against Providence and hope they get a win there. But whether they do or they do not, last game of the year will be March 8th. That'll be a Saturday against St. John's, which, yeah. You know, hopefully they get a win against St. John's. St. John's will be on the bubble at that point. Marquette, who knows where they'll be as far as the tournament is concerned. May be irrelevant as far as Marquette is concerned. But it'll be an important game for St. John's. But more importantly, it'll be senior day. So shall we talk about the seniors for a little bit here, Phil?
I suppose.
Let's be fair. You know, obviously this is not the senior season these four guys have imagined. Of course, we're talking about Jake Thomas, Jameel Wilson, Devontae Gardner, and Chris Otule. You know, obviously, they're disappointed. Even if they would say that. You know, they didn't want to be the first team at Marquette in 9 years to miss the NCAA tournament. You know, they don't want to play in the NIT. You know, obviously, they're disappointed in the way the season has gone. But in my opinion, when you look back on this senior class, I think you certainly have to look at the entire body of work. And all these guys certainly have contributed to the surge under Buzz Williams of 3 straight Sweet 16s, especially Devontae Gardner and Chris Otule, who've been there through all that. And, you know, Jameel has been strong. Jameel's been there for the three Sweet 16s as well. That I think may be more their legacy. I know the way it ends is probably, barring some kind of miraculous turnaround the last 2 weeks, is going to be a disappointing finish to their careers. But you certainly can't take away from what the impact these four kids have had on the program during their time on campus.
Right. Well, and you know, and Chris Otule's got to headline that list for all sorts of reasons. We're, you know, one, he's probably, if I had to pick one player of the last decade, granted, he's probably been in school that entire decade.
Hey.
He's probably the one that's you know, represented as a total person Marquette better than any other player we've seen in quite some time. You know, just in terms of all the adversities he's gone through and taken through, he's been remarkably consistent. He was certainly never the best basketball player on the team or even, you know, the best basketball player at his position in his time at Marquette.
Right.
But what did you say?
I said, right. Yeah, you're
yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
I mean, but he's been solid. You knew he was the player that played the most consistent, I think. You always knew what you were getting out of Chris Otule. He does the little things. I think the one thing that a lot of people don't really appreciate, especially on the offensive line, offensive side, how much he uses his body to seal off defenders and give players give his offensive teammates chances to score buckets. It's the little things he did, and just being able to fight through the injuries. I mean, he's been the quintessential Marquette player.
I agree with everything you said. You know, as we kind of break out down all these seniors individually, let's keep going on Otule for a minute here. And he's definitely Buzz's favorite player, and how can you blame him? I mean, the two have been together ever since Buzz arrived on campus. I mean, when Buzz was an assistant under Crean, he was in charge of recruiting Otule, and he brought him in, and the stories out there are really funny. I mean, a lot of articles have been written on Otule. USA Today wrote a good one this past week, but I mean, there have been articles elsewhere, of course, on Otule's journey, and Buzz telling him, you know, basically, look, you're not very good, but we're desperate for a center, and we need you. And so he brought him in, and Buzz, you know, didn't even know Chris had a glass eye when he signed him, and neither did his high school coaches. And, you know, he's been a project from the very beginning, and he's had so many injuries that have set him back, and he's stuck with it, and he's still on campus, and he's been such a great, great guy, you know, ambassador for the university outside the school. He's been a great student athlete. He's just been a great kid. Like, everyone who's said anything about Chris Otule has had nothing but positive things to say about him, about his work ethic, about what he's like as a kid, how he is in the classroom, around campus. And it's just been really a pleasure to be a fan of Chris Otule for 6 years. And I'm rooting hard for the guy to, you know, maybe have some kind of strong finish to his career here. But even if it ends, you know, very quickly here at the end of the season, early March, but it doesn't take away from the lasting impact he's had. And I'm sure Buzz will be telling future Marquette players for years about the effort and the dedication of Chris Otule.
Right. Yep. I think that's good enough.
Yeah, I mean, we'll certainly miss Chris, and maybe I'm sure he'll still maybe hang around the program or be around Milwaukee. I don't know what he's going to be doing with his life after he takes the floor from Marquette for the final time, but he'll always be remembered well, be a fan of the program, and I'm sure we'll see him around Milwaukee in some shape or form. So, you know, best of luck to Chris going forward. The next senior I do want to break down, let's just talk about Jake really quickly. And Jake Thomas certainly came in as a walk-on and really wasn't expected to do much. And I'll say this for Jake, as much maligned as maybe he is on blogs and message boards and podcasts, he certainly made the most out of his opportunities at Marquette. You know, he's been a lucky guy because he's ended up having been on scholarship for 3 years because guys kept leaving. And he's filled the role that Buzz needed him to in practice. And when he needed a starting shooting guard this season, he's been that guy. No matter what you think about his performance, Jake has given his best effort. Is he the most talented kid out there? Certainly not. But he's given everything Buzz has asked of him. And I guess that's really all you can ask out of Jake Thomas.
Yeah, he met the call to action and performed as best he could. And delivered some memorable performances, particularly a 4-point play against Syracuse last year.
Yeah.
You know, so he was a walk-on that happened to get a 4-year scholar or a 3-year, well, I guess technically 4 years because he transferred, a 4-year scholarship that, you know, that did what he did. We can't malign Jake for doing his best and being put in a position where he had to play. That's more on the coaching staff and the recruiting and the players behind him. Jake Jake played to the best of his ability and was serviceable and you know, again, has been another player who never has any off the court issues, seems to be very, very involved in the team and is strong, a strong communicator and a good defender. And, you know, so we did what we asked of him, and that's a good thing. And, you know, we can malign him all we want, but it's really not his fault. It's that's better directed at other places.
I agree. You know, Jake's done the best with the talent he has, and that's really all I can say about Jake Thomas. So it's been a good run for Jake at Marquette. Next senior I want to talk about is Jameel Wilson, who, you know, when he came in, everyone was excited to have Jameel back in Wisconsin. Of course, he's from Racine, and you know, he went out to Oregon for a year and decided that was for him, and decided to come back to Milwaukee. Now everyone was excited to have him there, and he has played really kind of the point I was making earlier about the class as a whole really applies to Jameel. Granted, it didn't end the way he wanted it to with the way his senior year has gone. But his previous 2 years as a player, he's been on campus for four, of course, with the transfer year. But his previous 2 years, he's had such an impact for this team going deep in the NCAA tournament. And he had such a huge role on that Elite Eight team. And I guess that's probably what I'm going to remember Jameel Wilson for the most, is his play in the NCAA tournament as a junior, especially that miracle minute against Davidson.
Well, yeah. Well, it's going to be it's kind of an interesting dichotomy, if you will, because I agree.
Big words.
Hey, word of the day, toilet paper. It works out great for everyone. I mean, because you're right. His postseason performance last year was kind of, sort of, if you think about it, it maybe gets lost in time, but was kind of one for the ages. But it represents kind of a pivot point or a mirror image to some of his other performances, especially, say, this season, where you kind of look at Jameel Wilson and everything about Jameel says fantastic player, you know, kind of once in a lifetime type player. He's got all the tools. I mean, the guy's 6'7" and can play the point guard position a little, and you know, and has all these capabilities, but doesn't always seem to deliver it. But again, bright guy. Buzz always talks about, oh, he's the smartest player on the team. You know, so it's one of these things where I think I'm going to remember him as a good player that could have been great and maybe just fell victim to expectations even more so than some other team, other players we've seen on this team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, he looks like an NBA player at times. Yep. He really does.
And he plays like one at times, but that's the problem. It's at times.
Yeah, it's at times. And yeah, I think the victim of expectations maybe is fair to bring up, because I think when Vander Blue left, everyone was looking to Jameel Wilson to take over and be the star of this team and be first team all Big East and get this team back to the tournament. None of that happened.
Right.
And, was that, sure. Is that disappointing? Of course. But, you know, it doesn't maybe malign his entire Marquette career for me. He's been a great player. And again, another great kid on and off the court. But yeah, I think it's fair to say his senior season maybe is not quite what many had hoped.
Right. Well, and I mean, and like you said, his tournament performance last year, that everyone naturally assumed, you know, hey, this is a turning point for him. He put together such an amazing run. This is a turning point. He's going to put it all together next season, which would be this season. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But yeah, he will be missed, I think, next year.
And yeah, I think he's got so much raw ability. I'm sure he'll play pro ball somewhere, you know, whether it's in the United States or in Europe or somewhere, because somebody is going to say, look, this guy's a freak of a talent. I can make something out of him. Maybe he'll get a shot with a D-League team or something like that. You know, Vander Blue has made his way and got an NBA 10-day contract. Who knows? Maybe Jameel could work himself up to that level just because he's got so much ability. But, you know, he'll be paid to play basketball somewhere next year, I think, because he's just got great ability, and he's definitely shown it at times at Marquette.
Yep, I agree.
Yep. Well, and the last senior, of course, to break down is Devontae Gardner, who really has had as much to do with those three Sweet 16s as anyone, because he's actually played in all three of them. Of course, Chris Otule was hurt for spells there and wasn't able to participate in the tournament, but Gardner has given so much to the team. You know, he was a bit of a project when Buzz brought him in too, because, you know, Buzz even jokes about his weight all the time. Buzz even called him fat in post-game press conferences at times, and he still rips him. He said, jokingly this past week, he calls Devontae Avante this week because he doesn't have any D, but he still, Buzz is so hard on Devontae because he likes him so much and sees so much in him. And for the most part, Devontae has really delivered in his 4 years at Marquette. I mean, because he's played in all three of those Sweet 16 teams, had a big role for the Elite Eight team, of course. And even as soon as he stepped on the floor as a freshman, he showed that athleticism for a guy in a 300-pound body that just made you say, wow, this guy has really got some ability.
Yeah, well, and he's been long been a fan favorite. I mean, he's kind of one of those players that not only is he very talented and puts that together on the court, but has kind of been just kind of a lightning rod for good times in terms of enjoyment out of what he does off the court, what he does on the court in terms of his personality and the way he plays the game. He's been fun with a dash of frustrating over the years.
I think it's definitely been a lot more fun than freshman.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially. I remember his freshman year, Marquette was playing in that college basketball or that invitational in Kansas City, you know, and I was there with my family and they were playing Duke and Gonzaga that year.
Yep.
And I remember in that game where Marquette was playing Duke, I was telling my family I was there with, I said, you know, Gavon, he's big, but tell him he could play a little bit. And Gardner was going up against the Plumlees or whoever else was out there for Duke and was muscling his way to the basket, and everyone around me was laughing like, oh my gosh, a 300-pound guy with the athletic move. I'm like, I tell you, the guy can be really good.
Yeah.
And he has been good, and he's really been a constant in a lot of Marquette's big wins over the last 4 years is him getting the ball inside and getting to the free throw line and his amazingly impressive free throw stroke for a guy who's 300 pounds. And of course that brought out the automatic chance that maybe I wasn't a fan of at the beginning, but they've definitely grown on me. But, Devontae's been a great player, and he's a guy that Buzz took a chance on. When people call Buzz a great recruiter, they point to guys like Devontae Gardner, guys who not necessarily 4 or 5-star prospects, but they come in and they produce for Buzz. And Devontae's another guy who I think will probably get paid to play somewhere next year.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll miss his biggest Euro step in, or I should say largest Euro step I've seen. And even though, again, this is where I say just a hint of frustration, even though it drives you nuts, some of the stuff he pulls at the end of games, especially, you know, behind the back dribbling and chucking the ball not quite high enough in the air and some of that stuff, he's always entertaining and talented. So that
he is as graceful as a triceratops.
Right.
He is very effective, though. He'll always be a fan favorite, I think, just because of the way he played and just the unique skill set he brings for a 350-pound guy, however many pounds, 300 pounds, whatever he is now, because he looks honestly like he could play offensive lines for somebody somewhere.
Well, and the other part is he plays a very passionate brand of basketball. And I think that's certainly just kind of from a Milwaukee and from a Marquette in general, kind of that workman attitude. I think he kind of has that a little bit. Just granted, he's had his moments where maybe a little more work would have been nice. But
yes, indeed.
But I think he just was kind of the right fit. And of the four, I mean, I'm definitely going to miss Chris Otule, but from an on-court perspective, I think Devontae is going to be the player out of the four I'm going to miss the most.
Yeah, I think you put that well. On the court, I think when Marquette takes the floor next fall, we will say often, man, we miss Devontae Gardner.
Yeah.
I think we will say that a lot, at least until Luke Fisher is eligible, then maybe we'll say it less. But I think for sure those non-conference games next year while Fisher is sitting out the remainder of his transfer penalty, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, Marquette, we will say often, gosh, we missed Devontae Gardner.
And you know what the other thing I'm looking forward to? Whatever Devontae Gardner says at senior night.
Yeah, get the cameras rolling on that one.
Because like Jameel Wilson, and this is no way to experiment. I think Jameel Wilson will have an extremely thoughtful, you know, very, very well put together kind of conversation. I think Jake Thomas as well. Chris Otule, I think, will be very, very good, a little bit quirky. I think Devontae Gardner, while serious, I think he will just have a little bit of fun and quirkiness to it that'll make it pretty unique.
I'm sure he'll drop a I be chillin' dough.
I hope so.
I hope he just ends it with that, and I think the crowd
drops the mic, walks away, and walks into the sunset. Yeah, it'll be good. It's going to be a tough. I mean, there's a lot of good players that are graduating and have meant a lot to this program over the last 3 to 12 years, depending on which player you're talking about. So there's going to be a lot of. I think it's going to be a little dusty in the Bradley Center for a few folks.
Yeah, I think Buzz is definitely going to need a handkerchief during Chris Otule's speech.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Buzz is going to get choked up real bad.
Well, he got choked up real bad at Marquette Madness. I can't imagine when he's actually graduating what's going to go through
Buzz's
head.
The tears are going to flow for Buzz on senior day, and hopefully not because Marquette loses.
Right.
I just hope Marquette can beat St. John just to have, because losing on senior day always stinks.
Yeah, you know? and Marquette's had less success on senior day than I feel like a lot of teams do.
You know what? And I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually looked it up, because I wondered how bad it's been on senior day, because the fact is you remember the gut-wrenching losses more than you do the wins on senior day, because when the team is standing out there all upset because they lost on senior day, especially when it's a game they need, that's what you remember for better or worse. And I looked it up. Actually, under Buzz, Marquette is 2-3 on senior day. They've actually won the last two.
Oh, okay.
But they did lose three straight before that. They lost to Cincinnati, Notre Dame, and Syracuse, the previous three. And then the last 4 years under Crean, under Crean overall, they were 7-2 on senior day, including winning the last three. Now, one of them was against Florida Gulf Coast, so whatever.
Right.
But
that was pre-Dunk City.
Yes, exactly. That's when they were a brand new program, and that was that last-minute replacement game or whatever. But, I mean, you definitely remember, like, that. I remember Brian Wardle's senior day, that triple overtime loss to Louisville.
Yep, that was brutal.
That was absolutely gut-wrenching. And then there was 2005, when Marquette was a bubble team. They lost to SLU. That stunk. 2009, of course, that was when Dominic James was out there on crutches, and they lost to Syracuse. That stunk. But those are the gut-wrenching senior days that you really kind of stick out to you. But Marquette is actually working on a 2-game winning streak here on senior day. So.
Well, let's keep it. I mean, we need it for emotional and for tournament purposes, that we got to keep that winning streak alive.
Exactly. And the last thing I want to say about the senior class is the one thing that I really hate about it for them is, beyond just missing the NCAA tournament this year, which is going to be obviously very likely at this point, they haven't really had just that great win. You know, like one really, really good win this year that everyone's going to say, well, at least they had that one, like a win where they beat a top 10 or top 25 team. And I really want that for this team, just for them to have one really good moment, a really good win. And it's not going to come in these next two, because those don't qualify for me. For me, I would love to see this team go to the Big East tournament and knock off Villanova or Creighton, or, you know, miraculously win the whole thing, or worst case, you know, go to the NIT and win the NIT. You know, I would love for this senior class to have one great moment, one moment that they'll at least hang their hats on and say, all right, that's the way we went out. And that's my hope for this senior class with what little is remaining in their season. But overall, you have to be happy with them because of what they've contributed to over the previous 3 years. So they've certainly done a great job. I just wish there was just a little bit more for them this year.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Well, I think it's definitely time to wrap up this podcast. We've been going for almost an hour now. Again, as always, you can check us out on iTunes. You can download it there. Hit us up on Twitter. Crack Sidewalks is the team. Then, of course, individually, we are Joe McCann 3 and Phil is MOOOF23. And of course, you can find us on Facebook. There's a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page as well. That's where we post our podcasts, as always, there. Please like us. We know you like us. We like you. Any closing thoughts, Phil?
No, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I'm kind of exhausted too. I think we're kind of ready for let's just get the regular season over. Let's get some postseason play, and then we can start talking about the off-season madness.
Yep.
All right. Until next time, everyone, seashells and balloons.